For several weeks now, we have been discussing lessons that have to do with our relationship to the Bible. We've talked about what the Bible is. We talked last Sunday about our last two Sundays about our attitudes toward the Bible. And today I want to present a lesson on the subject, attacks that have been made on God's Word. In Jeremiah, the 36th chapter, beginning at verse 20, they went into the king, that's Jehoiakim, into the court, but they laid up the roll in the chamber of Elishama, the scribe, and told all the words in the ears of the king. So the king sent Jehudi to fetch the roll, and he took it out of Elishama, the scribe's chamber, and Jehudi read in the ears of the king and in the ears of the princes which stood before the king. Now the king sat in the winter house in the ninth month, and there was a fire on the hearth burning before him. And it came to pass that when Jehudi had read three or four leaves, he cut it with the penknife and cast it into the fire that was on the hearth, until all the roll was consumed in the fire that was on the hearth. King said, I don't like the message. I'm going to get rid of the copy of it. I'm going to burn it. Verse 27. Then the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah after that the king had burned the roll, and the words which Baruch wrote at the mouth of Jeremiah, saying, take thee again another roll, and write in it all the former words that were in the first roll, which Jehoiakim, the king of Judah, hath burned. Verse 32. Then took Jeremiah another roll, and gave it to Baruch the scribe, the son of Neriah, who wrote therein from the word of Jeremiah all the words of the book which Jehoiakim, king of Judah, had burned in the fire. And there were added besides unto them many like words. King Jehoiakim decided that he wanted to get rid of God's word. And so they took a penknife and cut out the leaves, or cut up the leaves that were being read, and threw them in the fire until they had burned all of it. But God said, Jeremiah, they haven't burned the message. Just get you another roll, and I'll give you the message again to write it so that you will have it. That's an unusual situation for someone to cut up God's word and put it in the fire and burn it. However, that is just an indication of what some people will do, and the attitude that some people have toward God's message. This Bible has been under attack from the very time that it was written. Even at the time that some of the prophets were writing God's message and giving it to the kings, there were those who didn't want it, and they decided they'd just try to get rid of it. I want to share with you today what have been some of the attacks on God's word, and some of the attacks that are continuing today. As indicated in our text, there are those who have tried to destroy God's word, the Bible itself. We just saw this with Jehudi. In the second century, there was a man by the name of Marcion who declared that he was going to destroy it. In the third century, there was a man by the name of Mani, or Mani, who said the same thing. One of the Roman rulers by the name of Diocletian declared that all copies would be destroyed, even somewhat with a rule from his leadership. Just a few years later, Constantine asked for a copy of the Bible, or a copy of God's word that was written at that time. And within 24 hours, it is reported that he had 50 copies. Voltaire and Ingersoll, two atheists, predicted that the Bible would be in the morgue in less than 100 years. In less than 15 years, they were in the morgue, and the Bible, God's Word, remained. Hitler tried to banish God's Word. It didn't work. Even Thomas Paine, about 200 years ago in the early history of our country, in his work, The Age of Reason, tried to do everything he could to get rid of God's Word. It didn't work. Down through the years, with I think the exception of 1 year, the Bible has been the bestseller of all books in the world, and is thought to be that again in our day and time. So there are those who have tried to destroy the written Word of God. And if every copy of the Word of God were destroyed, although the message would still be there, we would not have a way to know that message. People have attacked the Bible in that sense. When that didn't work, then there were those who would try to discredit its author. If this is claimed to be God's Word, and we can discredit God, then we have effectively removed the message. There are those, especially evolutionists, who teach that there is no God. Now, if we claim that this is God's Word and there is no God, then the message has no meaning. So there are those who try to destroy its author and say that everything came about by chance. Hence, the claim that this is the Word of God is a farce or something that's fabricated, and thereby have destroyed it. There are those who say that God doesn't care. Deism is a doctrine that is held by some who, in a sense, say that God did create everything, but then he left it, and that he doesn't care what happens to us now or in the future. If God can be lowered to that level of one who doesn't care about us, who is not concerned about us, then that makes his message of little importance and gives very little hope. When that doesn't work, there are those who try to discredit or to kill the leading character in the Bible and do away with his kingdom. Herod tried to kill Jesus when he was about 2 years old. He thought, of course, that Jesus had come to be an earthly king. But if he had been able to kill him and not allow Jesus to fulfill the purpose for which he came, the message of God would have been altered. The Jews and Romans did succeed in killing Jesus physically on the cross. And I'm sure there were those at that time who thought that they were victorious over Jesus and that they had done away with the claims that he had made in his personal teaching. Hebrews 6:6 talks about the way in which we can crucify the Son of God afresh. 2 Peter 2:1 says to deny him and to bring him to an open shame is the same thing as crucifying him again. There are many who try to do that today. There are those who deny that his kingdom is a reality. Some would even deny that it would ever be a reality, and many others would deny that it is a reality, but something that may happen in the future. Everything that is done to discredit Christ, to make him merely a man and not the Son of God, everything that is done to do away with the distinct nature of his kingdom, what it is, what it provides, and what it means to us, is an attempt to do away with the Bible. Christ is the central figure of this book. The thread of his life, in a sense, runs from as early as Genesis 3:15 to as late as Revelation 22. You take the main character out of the book, destroy him, or even discredit him, and you have discredited the book itself. Today, when you hear people teach that Christ is not the Son of God, when they deny his divinity, when they deny his virgin birth, they're trying to lower him to the mere level of man, which would, in doing that, destroy the very message that's centered around him from Genesis to Revelation. And although those people would realize that they cannot burn every copy of the Bible, they realize that to discredit Christ is to weaken the Bible to where it does not and cannot have the force in our lives today. If that doesn't work, I believe there are those who try to destroy the Bible by persecuting the followers of Christ. The church, the bride of Christ, faced persecution during its early history in the time of Acts. It faced severe persecution a little later during the time of the writing of the book of Revelation. There were those who literally lost their lives and gave their lives as martyrs for the cause of Christ. There was an attempt on the part of some rulers, on people in general, to destroy those who were followers of Jesus Christ. Today, there's persecution of the church. You and I do not see it here because we live in a place where we can freely worship God according to the Bible. But there are some of our brethren throughout the world who will be meeting in secret this morning, because if they were known to be meeting, they could be arrested, put in prison, and maybe even put to death. And you see, there are nations today, and even rulers in nations today, who do not want the New Testament church in existence in their countries. They do not want the teaching of the Bible in their countries, and believe that if they can get rid of the followers of Jesus Christ, then they can get rid of God's message. Another way that is attempted today to attack the Bible, in my opinion, is to try to alter the message of God. You see, for those of us who are gathered here this morning, we're not too concerned that every copy of the Bible is going to be burned. We don't believe that's going to happen. We're not overly concerned about those who would discredit God and say that there is no God or that he is dead. We believe that we have gone through those times and been able to overcome them and still teach the truth of God. We don't believe that Christ will really be crucified again, or even in the minds of men that he can totally be crucified, but that he will still reign in his kingdom, and that his kingdom will, as predicted, break to pieces the kingdom of the world. We certainly do not see persecution and do not believe that that kind of persecution will happen to us. We have no expectation whatsoever that anything could happen between now and next Sunday that would hinder us from assembling like this and worshiping God and studying from his word. We don't believe that that's going to happen. Yet I think there is a way in which for us we can attack the word of God. And that's by trying to change its message. As we pointed out in a previous lesson, there are those who believe that this is good literature, but nothing more than that. I suspect there are people living in the city of Jackson who believe that. They do not believe that this is the inspired word of God. They're not ready to turn and take everything that God says because he said it. Although they would admit that it's a good book in many ways, that it does a good job for a lot of people in many ways, and that it should be kept in that sense and read as the word of man. Well, you see, all we've got to do to discredit it being the word of God is to make it the word of man. When we bring it to the level that it's nothing more than a collection of articles and writings by men on their own, we've done away with the idea that it's the Word of God. And that is happening in our time. I also mentioned in a previous lesson that there are those who believe the Bible is just part of what is needed. Those who would particularly emphasize the Book of Mormon and say that we need to set that book alongside the Bible, that this is not the complete. They have discredited God's Word in saying that. They have said by saying that, that this book is not enough to teach us what we need to know to get from here to heaven. They have discredited the message of God by simply saying that we need something else. And then think of all the different religious groups that are in our area, people that go that are involved in those who have a creed book, where they have in writing said, this is what's to be done. For example, in one particular religious group, the baptizing of babies with sprinkling has changed from time to time, and man has set up his own creed to go along with the Bible or to interpret the Bible instead of the Bible being God's complete message. And look at the control that has been obtained of so many, many people because there is a creed book that they would not dare to contradict, even when it contradicts the Word of God. I think there are those who have tried to discredit the Bible by placing things in the inside cover or the pages before and after the Bible is written. I suspect that some of you have picked up a copy of the Bible which had in the back or the front a copy of the Sinner's Prayer, saying that all you've got to do is pray the sinner's prayer in order to be saved. Folks, that one thing discredits the entire message of the Bible and is an attack on the Bible. In many instances, there will be in the back of certain Bibles that you can buy different topics given. And for example, on the topic of salvation, we'll tell people what they need to do to be saved when it contradicts what the Bible says that's necessary to be saved. That's all that's necessary to destroy God's Word. If you can take one or two pages in the front, pardon me, of the particular copy that you are reading, and it tells you something directly opposed to or different from the message that's in the Word of God, you have discredited the message that's in the Word of God. And the sad thing about it is, a lot of people will take the time to read what's on the inside cover or what's on that page just before the Bible starts and will not take time to read the Word of God. And that has effectively kept people from obeying the gospel and given them a false hope. In the Catholic version, the Douay Confraternity version of the Bible, and I suppose in most every version they have, the footnotes will do away with the message of God. For example, Matthew 23, where it says, be not called fathers, call no man your father on the earth, the footnote says, when you do refer to someone as father, realize that only God is the eternal Father. Look at the practice that's going on today in that particular case. Have you ever seen a priest interviewed on television without even the one interviewing referring to him as father? You see, the footnote that's in the Bible that's put there by some religious group can destroy the message that's just a few sentences above it in the text of God's Word. We may not have that specific problem, but we can have problems in other ways. Think about the people, even in the church, who sometimes teach that, well, you really shouldn't take the Bible literally. You need to sort of take it into consideration in the light of customs or what's happening today, the culture of today. And that point that we made recently that some think it's a message just to the past, don't take it too literally. Don't apply it to yourself. This is not really to be applied to yourself. This is what happened to these folks back there. And when that's done, that takes away from the message of God. You and I would not take a penknife and cut out the pages and throw them in the fire. But what's the difference in failing to accept what's on those pages? Whether we cut them out literally and throw them in the fire, or cut them out figuratively as we study God's word and accept what we want and what we don't want, isn't the end result the same? And I think probably the one way in which you and I and people today attack the word of God more than any other way is making it something that lies on the shelf and never gets any farther than that. You know why the Bible is the bestseller today? It's not because it's the most read book. It's because of all the copies of it that are lying on the shelves in our homes, in our houses, and the houses of others. There are people today who could produce literally dozens of copies of the Bible who have no idea what's necessary to become a Christian and how to live the Christian life, because they've bought the copy and laid it there on the shelf to collect dust and important papers and maybe some things that are not so important, and never opened its pages to read it, never lived by its principles in any way whatsoever. Folks, isn't that rendering God's word non-effective? Isn't that making it something that's not worth anything to us? Isn't that destroying the message of God just as much as the one who would take a knife and cut from it? When the ignorance of God's word is promoted, either intentionally or by happenstance, that ignorance of God's word is, in a sense, destroying the message. You see, God's message isn't worth anything until we get into it, get it into us, and then it get it out of us in the way we live day by day. There are all kinds of attacks on the word of God. And let me tell you, Satan won't give up. I'm thankful that God won't give up either. When they took the penknife and cut it and put it in the fire and burned it, God said, Jeremiah, go get you another something to write on. Get you another roll. And I'll tell you exactly what to put there. We can reproduce it just like it was. You can destroy, although it's not reasonable, you could destroy every copy of the Word of God today. But you cannot destroy the message that's contained on its pages. And I believe in the providence of God enough to believe that if He has a message that needs to be preserved for mankind, He's not going to let any man or any group of men destroy that message completely. We went through the Dark Ages. We could go through that type of situation again. There was a time when a copy of the Bible could not be found. That didn't mean it wasn't there. There could be a time, although it's hard to realize or to imagine this, that you and I couldn't find a copy of the Bible. That doesn't mean God's message won't be there. And the God who worked in so many wonderful ways over such a long period of time to put together His message in a written way that we call the Bible is not going to let that message be destroyed. I believe that. But I also believe that Satan won't give up and that he'll try every way in the world to destroy it, and especially, even if he can't destroy it completely, to destroy its effect in your life and mine. That's all he's got to do. If he can destroy the effect of God's word in your life and mine to where we are lost eternally, he is successful as far as we are concerned in destroying the message of God. We can rest assured God's word will continue to be attacked. But we can also be assured that God is still in charge. I'm thankful his message is there. But let me ask you a rather pointed question. Which is worse? To try to destroy the copy of his message, or to fail to obey what you know is in that message? If a person knows what God teaches to obey, to believe, repent, confess, be baptized for the remission of sins, and doesn't do that, is he any better than the one who is publicly trying to destroy the message? Or if one who is a Christian and has gone astray and has not made things right with God continues in that undone situation, is he any better? Isn't he destroying God's message just as much as the one who would take the knife and cut it and burn it in the fire? There are many ways in which we can attack the Bible and try to destroy it. But instead of attacking it, let's open it, listen to it, obey it, live by it, and have that promise of heaven that's in it. If you're not doing that, come as together we stand and sing.